The BlackBerry Q10 launches this week in the United States, T-Mobile first. Will consumers buy into a QWERTY keyboard, or will they thumb their noses at the BlackBerry smartphone? Let's go to Ed Snyder, Managing Director at Charter Equity Research. He's in Colorado Springs. Ed, good to have you with us again.
My pleasure to be here.
As I understood it, from every BlackBerry fan that I've ever spoken to, they were all waiting, not for a touchscreen-based device, but the one with the keyboard. That's why they didn't jump to the iPhone in the first place. How optimistic are you that that situation plays out in the world's biggest smartphone market?
Well, it will, because you've still got a large base of loyal BlackBerry users who didn't switch to smart touchscreen-based smartphones. And primarily it's an enterprise-based user who's looking for just email and a really reliable device, which RIM did deliver. They've held out, and this is the device they're waiting for. So you'll probably see a better uptick in the Q10 than you did with the Z10, primarily just based on that. Now, whether that extends to the rest of the world, that's the big question.
Well, set that question aside for a moment, because I do want to find out what's happening where you are. And that is specifically that when the Z10 was launched, crickets as far as the United States was concerned. We had reports of people having to go to the back of the AT&T store to get one, and then the guy who handed it to you didn't know anything about it. What about the Q10?
Well, you're probably going to see a little bit better traction. You remember the carriers can't invest in every phone that they actually carry. They have to pick the models that they're going to promote, they're going to train the sales force on, they're going to incentivize the sales force on, and that's usually one or two phones. And it used to be that they could pick which phones they were going to push. After the iPhone, it was basically the iPhone. When people came in and they were buying the phone, they didn't want to hear about anybody else. That's kind of changed a bit. So it's not surprising they didn't push the Z10. I think naturally you'll see a bigger promotion with the Q10, primarily because they're going to see a bigger audience for it. And I think people will start going in. Now, that said, I don't think you're going to see this massive rush breathtakingly huge sales, because you're dealing with a replacement phone for most of the installed base, but it'll do better than Z10, I'm sure.
Oh, okay. Now, it's my understanding that the revenue stream on a Q10 isn't as great as it was on the existing BlackBerry 7-based devices, and that they're going to have to sell a truckload more of these devices to make up for that revenue decline. Do you expect them to? And first of all, is that accurate?
Yeah, that is. I mean, BlackBerry's entire business model has eroded over the last 3 or 4 years for all the reasons we've talked about in the past, you know, competition from iPhone, lack of traction, email services available from other folks. So, yeah, anything they sell today is going to be worth less on a per-subscriber basis than it was 2 or 3 years ago, which means they're going to have to sell a lot more if they're going to make up for it. I don't think they can. I don't think the base of users is that large. There's no way around the fact that GS4, Samsung's Galaxy S4, and then iPhone, and a host of other phones, HTC One, etc., have eaten into a lot of the folks who are carrying a BlackBerry with a keyboard, who, you know, liked it fine enough but prefer something a little bit more versatile. So yeah, it is true that they're going to have to sell more to make it up, and I don't believe that will happen.
You point out that a carrier needs to pick one or two handsets as their primary devices, and you mentioned iPhone. I guess Samsung and the Galaxy series is the other one over Q10?
Yeah, actually, in the last year or so, the shift has become more evident that carriers are pushing Galaxy, and they've gone to folks. They went to BlackBerry, I think it was probably 2009, AT&T did, when their exclusivity with iPhone was coming off, and said, hey, give us the Blue Sky phone. We're going to come to you, spend a year developing, and give us a real iPhone crusher, because we're losing exclusivity and we don't want to see a big dip in sales. And they got the storm, I think it was. And so it's been the case for some time that the carriers want to move away from Apple because the deal isn't that great for them, and more competition forces prices down, less subsidies. So yeah, they'll promote other people. And if RIM proves to be a very good smartphone manufacturer the next several models, they'll get their shot too.
It sounds like the ball is in Apple's court as far as making changes to their carrier relationship.
Yeah, it is, and this is an interesting time if you cover cell phones like we do, and that now you can see Apple starting to slip. It's not evident to the general public yet, but they've been on top for so long, they don't want to let go of that huge profit margin. But if they don't let it go, they're really going to get walloped by Samsung, who's already taken the lead. So you have to start segmenting your phones to lower segments. You have to take less from the carriers. If you want to keep your channel fat, sell a lot of phones, and if they don't get on it, another year or two, this is going to be a different conversation.
Well, what's your outlook? What kind of conversation do you expect us to have a year from now based upon what we know about Apple today?
Well, you know, we don't know the future. Tim Cook could do, you know, the right thing and rapidly, but his history suggests, if you go back to what Motorola did when the in 1989 when they released the StarTech, which was a phenomenal phone, made printed money on it. They waited way too long, and Nokia took over. Nokia did the same thing, ignored Apple, waited way too long, Apple took over. Now Apple's at the top, and they've already started to slip, and we're seeing the same kind of signs. They're going to come out with maybe one, maybe two phones. Samsung's going to release, well, six Galaxy versions this year alone. So if history is any guide, Apple will wait too long. They'll start on a slide market share, and then they'll scramble to try and fix it. And that's going to probably play out over the next 2 years.
The Worldwide Developers Conference for Apple kicks off next week. We are expecting them to make big revisions to the operating system, but it sounds like we're not really expecting any innovation out of the Cupertino company.
No, I mean, it's almost impossible to innovate at the rate they did when they first came out, and you've seen it. All the commentary on iPhone 5 last time, it's nothing really special. Even iPhone 4S wasn't that big of a deal, and it's natural. It's not Apple's fault. You just can't think of, you know, phenomenally innovative things every single phone. In that case, the power shifts less from a creative company like Apple and more to a manufacturing juggernaut like Samsung, who's got 482 different models in 2011. So it's a natural progression. It'll be interesting to see if Apple is unique in this regard, too, and that they can make this leap where most other companies could. But I don't expect anything super innovative in the iPhone 5S this year.
Ed, as always, great getting your take. Thank you for your time.
My pleasure.
Ed Snyder, Managing Director at Charter Equity Research.